It's a Friday morning, Big Show Friday. We welcome in our comrade.
What, third straight week now third with Joe Bay?
Oh, that's this right. feels
it's a
good.
Streak.
Three and counting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's all putting good things back together again, and that's important.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it feels smoother each and every day, and, you know, it means a lot to, you know. I thank all the listeners for sending me their well wishes and everything along these last 3 weeks. So, you know, we still rust every day to knock off. You know, no one's perfect. So
I saw you with a grandchild on knee this week. Nice Facebook
last,
picture.
Yeah, last Sunday up in Brownsburg, Caleb's birthday, and we got tonight Ethan Graby. Graduates from, you know, preschool.
Oh. So
graduation's tonight that I'll be attending. Looking forward to that.
Very good.
And I have, obviously, Maria, it's her final day. It's Tuesday. They're having their little second grade ceremony this morning.
Right.
I didn't know this was a thing where you graduate every grade from everything. You know, usually you made middle school to high school to college, and now it's they've got graduation parties for everything these days. I like to party, Joe, so that's fine with me. But how about the red and black of Mick Hammett partying? 11 sectional championships, taking care of Brown County the other night and finishing it off last night. And I tell you what, I joke about this a lot with you, and I've joked about it a lot with the listeners. It seems like every time we talk about Edgewood softball, Grace Bretfeld is hitting another home run. She set the RBI record, and now she hits a dinger to Keyham last night. Tell me about the sectional champions.
Well, you know, it's not like they haven't played the defense all year long. I mean, it's been as big a component, along with pitching, to yet another spring success story out in Ellettsville for Mick Hammett's Edgewood and softball queens. Back-to-back sectional titles as they wrapped up with a nifty 5-3 double play cross diamond that ended Northview's hopes of, taking the Mustangs down last night, the final 6-4 EHS on next Tuesday to New Palestine, the top-ranked club in 3A for the 2018 regional. Edgewood now 22-6, got a big three-hit, four RBI night from Grace Redfield. One of those three hits, her 13th long ball of the year. And when third baseman Natalie Schafker started that 5-3 twin killing to end things last night, it was the third double play of the game to aid Trinity Robertson's route-going effort, her 19th win of the year for the young freshman. Elsewhere, Meg Montgomery's South Panthers lost its sectional title bid last night over in St. Leon, losing 6-1 to Shelbyville. Only four hits in this one. Mary Wright's two-bagger knocked in the run, and the Panther 4 South finished out the spring 10-14. Lillian McAfee got North's lone point at number one, number two singles last night, as Barb Mills North Cougs unfortunately dropped a 4-1 regional title match to tough Columbus North. All of the matches were tough. I mean, Lilly won 6-1-0. North closed 14-6, but everything was contested, although Columbus North won all of its matches in straight sets. A lot of close sets they were. Outstanding season for Bloomington North, 14-6. Mike make mention that the South's Maya Mills is still alive. In individual singles play, she won a straight setter last night over her Greensburg opponent. Maya has another match tonight out on the North Courts at 5:30. We wish her well. Elsewhere, same as last week, a little South deja vu. Girls win, boys follow with a win. That's now two sectionals and now two regionals for the Panthers. Larry Williams fellas crossed all the T's or I's and dotted them and did everything else well, competed like with 90 points in advancing six individuals, including regional champions Jonathan Dodrell and Jack Gillard, who won the mile in 4.20 seconds. 171.7 the discus for Jonathan. Same regional finish as we had in the sectional last night. Second place to Michael Doering's Edgewood Mustangs. That's their best regional finish now in a quarter century. John McLaughlin dented the win column this trip. He won the 400 in 49.4. Austin Haskett won the 2 mile and the mile relay team of Ethan Hill, Noah Beasy, Tyler Strickland, and McLaughlin take care of business in the mile relay at 3:25.3. North was third, but they did qualify three state qualifiers for next week at IU. Kobe Sterner, 400 meters, Garrett Ramsey in the pole vault, and Isaiah Hollers, third in the mile last night. Had a little golf last night. Edgewood was 10 strokes better than Brown County. Jake Hupp won the medal with a 39. We have North and South competing at Champions Point. That's coming up tomorrow for both the city schools. And let us not forget, little baseball yet to be played. We have Richard Hurst, North Cougs, finally playing a sectional game. They've had to wait all week. 8 o'clock against defending champion Columbus North. They're playing tonight over in Shelbyville. We wish the Maroon and Gold well. They beat Shelbyville. They'll play for the, or they beat Columbus North. They'll play for the title next Monday over in Shelbyville at 6 o'clock against either the Golden Bears or Columbus East. Reds baseball tonight. 8:40, they're out of Coors Field in Colorado starting a long West Coast trip. And don't forget the 102nd running of the Indy 500 coming up Sunday. Coverage starts at 11. I'm Joe Smith.
How about the Kings of Ohio, Joe? 2 out of 3 against the Pirates. Yeah. Eugenio Suarez, Grand Teter.
I saw that. Yeah.
Big Reds go out, and no Raisel Iglesias, a little DL stand here. Amir Garrett.
Yeah, tell me about it, yeah.
Well, you know what? If Brian Price is going to pitch him 2-out saves and Jim Riggleman's going to pitch him 2-out saves, that's an organizational decision. And a team that doesn't get many saves, the good news is Iglesias will be back. This is not a long-term problem.
No, it's not an arm issue. It's not a quadrant.
It's an opposite arm issue.
So it's not an arm issue, so...
That's the good news. And the Hoosiers yesterday, good news as well. They're come from behind victory over Michigan State. Matt Gorski, that was a well-hit ball. And they'll go tonight, 8:30 against Illinois. We'll talk more Hoosier stuff next hour. For those that didn't join us or didn't stay up late last night, the Houston Rockets beat Golden State 98-94. Houston now leads that best-of-7 series. Yeah.
3-2.
Back to Oakland tomorrow night. Pressure's on. Houston's the number one seed. Golden State has not played very well in the fourth quarter of the last two games, and that's going to be an interesting one as well. Boston and Cleveland tonight. Joe, you told me 1949 we've been carrying the race. That's a long, long time.
Yeah, Art Pollard won the race that year. I was only 2 years old at the time, so I wasn't.
Is that the year Keith drove in it?
But you know, I'm a native of Speedway, and that was memorable. My first race I remembered was Bob Schweikert won the 55, and Pat O'Connor 56, and then. Tragically, both of them were killed in accidents at the Motor Speedway later in their careers.
But
49 years here, or since 1949. So what's that? 69, this is 69th year or 70th year?
A bunch.
I'm going with Chuck. I'm not the math guy. A bunch sounds
what's
good.
What's Chuck say?
A bunch. I keep it simple,
good.
You know.
I like that. That's what, you know, when you come our age now, Chuck, that's you're talking three or four words, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
In a clause. we're clause people now, you know, so yeah, a bunch, yeah.
Yep.
That's good. Well, I like that.
We'll talk a bunch about Hoosier stuff coming up at 8:45. We'll get ready for the baseball backdoor weekend as they have trying to slide in to find a way to the Big Ten championship game. Plus, we've got track and field folks as well. So we'll do that coming back a little bit later. Plus, catch us up on the racing and everything else that's going on with the busy, busy weekend there.
That's a plan. See, that's a clause.
Sounds good, Smitty. We'll talk here coming up around the corner.
All right.
All right, Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45, here on a very busy holiday weekend, obviously, with plenty to do. 8:46 at WGCL. Joe Smith time here on a big show Friday. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I'm not bad, Glass. Nice sunny day, Friday, end of the week, holiday weekend, my.
That means you will join us Tuesday morning because we will have an extra day of stuff to get through because the sectional baseball finals aren't until Monday, right?
Well, I'm glad you're in a positive frame because I think North's going to beat Columbus North tonight in baseball and be in that game at 6 o'clock Memorial Day Monday.
Great.
We're talking baseball now.
That's exactly right. And we talk other level baseball. The TD Ameritrade Park has not been home run friendly, as we've known over the recent past with Indiana baseball. But Matt Gorski's 2-out, 3-run home run in the bottom of the ninth would have left just about any park in the free world, Joe. Yellowstone, Brown County State, you name it. That was a big shot. Indiana needed that desperately. They had not played well for 8 2/3, but here they are in alive, and like Chris Lemonis tweeted, survive and advance. Indiana baseball here on a Friday.
Well, you talk about dramatics. Two on, two out, bottom of the ninth, and Matt Gorski stepping to the plate connects on a rocket shot to left to knock things at five. And then in the 10th, Cole Barr gets a base hit. He steals second. Yeah, he got in there, or did he? But he got in there. He's safe. Then backup catcher with an off-field hit. That was Wyatt Cross, and that found the turf. Barr scores, and the Hoosiers, from 5-0 down after 7, playing still for a possible title, meeting Illinois tonight at 8:30 out in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Park. Not so much, you know, how you start, I think the saying goes, it's how you finish, and finish they did. Living, yes they are, to play for another day. Tim Herron, who beat the Illini in late April 9-2 to clinch the series back then, getting the ball tonight from Coach Chris Lemonis. Tim is 6-0. So, want to come back for Indiana. Still alive, playing Illinois tonight, 8:30 on the Big Ten Network. Well, we had 6 advanced Thursday in the NCAA East Track and Field Regional. Ron Helmer has his men and women competing down in Tampa. This is key because the top three in each race, men's and women's divisions, and then the next best three times will be advancing next week. Now, that's the big show out in Eugene, Oregon, the NCAA championship. So the best of luck the rest of this weekend, getting as many as we could qualify for the NCAA championships. Mentioning that, rowing. The venue, Sarasota, Florida. Not bad sight, huh? Steve Peterson's rowers, they're on the big stage. This is the fifth straight year that they have been in the NCAA championship. The IU rowers holding the 11th seed among 22 in the first varsity four crews, and then they're 14th in both the first and second varsity eight competition. We have racing tonight, of course, at the Bloomington Speedway, the Josh Burton Memorial. Gates will be opening up at usual time, about 4:30, actually 5:30. The hot lap start at 6:30. And then, of course, we have the IndyCar, the 500, yep, the 102nd edition over the 2.5-mile slab at IMS. We'll start our pre-race coverage at 11. The green flag will fall with, yes, Victor Oladipo driving that pace car on Sunday, as Danica Patrick will start 7th in her return to IndyCar, as we'll see how she does in her final appearance with the Indianapolis Oval. Well, this one is very emotional for me. Our deepest thoughts and prayers out to the Bill Mallory family. Ellie and daughter Barb, sons Mike, Doug, and Kurt, as they moved through this rather difficult time for them. The winningest coach in IU football history, Coach Bill Mallory, to be moved to hospice care a little bit later this afternoon following a fall that he sustained earlier this week. Had some private moments last night with Coach as he lay in the ICU unit at the hospital, just the hallway down from where Bill sat in my room just prior to my second major spinal surgery, almost a year to the day, a little over a year to the day. He was the last one to leave that afternoon, and it wasn't in the form of a question, "You got this?" It was a Mal eating, "You got this," like only Mal could say, and only a nod from me at that time. It's a friendship that has spanned 3.5 decades now, both job-related and socially. My horse racing buddy at Keeneland for many years, while Mal has put his personal imprint on so many through those years, beyond the football field, he made me a man and how to navigate my life and my family. Truly indebted to Bill Mallory. Always, Bill, a Mal man.
And a tough morning for their family, Joe, and a tough week. And all our thoughts and prayers go out to the family in this difficult, difficult time. Coach Mallory took Indiana football places. It hasn't been since. And I think that is great. But as Chuck was telling us last hour, the way he's affected his people, his teammates, his family, and those around him, that's the true mark. Wins and losses are great, but Bill Mallory wins everything else. Forget about wins
and
losses.
You know, Bill always said once he sat down at the banquet after he finished up 0-11, I had the privilege to do all of his television shows on Channel 4 for 13 years. I emceed all of the postseason banquets, and I remember the first one when he talked about football being a great teacher. It teaches you. And we have seen that over the span of 3.5 decades, well after he left Indiana, unceremoniously after he was fired with 3 games left in the regular season in 96. But, you know, that being said, what these men that are men now doing with their families and what have you, he's touched well, you can't even begin to come up with a number.
You can read about culture in books. You can read about culture or hear them about at seminars where you go pay $10,000. But there are people who create and develop culture, and then there's people that talk about creating and developing culture. And it's clear where Bill Mallory stands in those two categories. It's not even close.
Well, there isn't any question about that. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be involved with a lot of great moments in IU athletics history, but it is still, and I've said this on public record, the greatest moment of my life was winning the bucket in 96 in Lafayette, West Lafayette, when they carried him off the field, and I was wrapping up with the plays, as you well know, in the postgame show, and tears welled in my eyes, and it was the greatest moment to see under the circumstances Mal bring the bucket back to Bloomington one more time, and he won his share of old oaken buckets.
He sure did, and bowl games, and going to bowl games and everything else. Six of them in an 8-year span, as you well remember, and everybody should remember. And how about beating Ohio State and Michigan, Joe? Not too many can talk about that.
1987, they turned the bells did ring that day at the Giant Horseshoe, which was the horseshoe back in those days. It was the darkest day, as Earl Bruce would say, in Ohio State history. Well, that's fine and dandy, but not only that, but convincingly, and of course beating Bo in the rain in that same season, and just for good stuff, beat Purdue as well that year.
And again, thoughts and prayers to the Mallory family in this very, very difficult situation. We are going racing Sunday, the 102nd Indianapolis 500. We've broadcasted the race since 1949. As you mentioned, Vic, he's going to turn a couple hot laps there in the pace car. Vic, both hands on the wheel. Vic was named All NBA yesterday, third team
I
there.
Saw that.
Only
well,
the fifth pacer in history.
Honor.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's had a busy week. First team All Defensive Team on Wednesday. Third team All-NBA on Thursday, and now he's going to drive the pace car on Sunday. So Vic is flying high, and everything, he's had a great season. He deserves all the plaudits he is receiving. Cavs and Celtics tonight in Cleveland. That's an elimination game for LeBron James. So what's he going to get, about 47 tonight, Joe?
43, and they'll win it to force a seventh game, but they can't win. And no one has won often in Boston.
Well, and Boston can't win on the road either. I think they have one road victory. They won one game in Philadelphia. I think that's how
that
worked out. So it's it sets up for a game seven, and then you'll have game six tomorrow night of Houston and Golden State. Golden State facing elimination. Hey, have a great Memorial Day weekend. I can't wait to catch up with you on Tuesday because we'll have plenty to talk about.
All right. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Good job as always, my friend. Joe Smith, live on the telephones Mondays, Fridays, and Tuesdays after Memorial Day.